life doesn't always go in a straight line. Sometimes it goes loop-de-loop, like a rodeo cowboy's lasso, until it catches onto something good. As a young cowgirl in Texas, Ms. International Gay Rodeo Association 2019, Alina Horaz Cole, fell in love with horses, and she's been riding the beasts ever since. The daughter of a preacher man, Alina went into the military, got married, and had two kids. Then one day, her 15-year-old son came out as gay to her, and she said, "Me too!" Alina's the kind of gal that wrestles adversity to the ground, hogties it, and then gives it a couple of good kicks just to show who's boss.
Today, Alina Horaz Cole, reigning queen of the International Gay Rodeo Association 2019, joins us with her fellow title holder, Mr. IGRA 2019, Jorge Sanchez, to talk about their close friendship and the challenges navigating their new responsibility of being this year's gay rodeo king and queen.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
Our guests today are Mr. and Mrs. International Gay Rodeo Association for 2019. Please welcome Alina Horaz Cole.
Hello.
From all the way from Texas, darling.
From Texas and just south of Fort Worth.
South Fort Worth. What's the town you're from?
It's from Burleson, which everybody knows because Kelly Clarkson's from there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's just south of Fort Worth.
Just south, just 5 miles south.
So if you're traveling from Austin, Texas to Dallas or Fort Worth, mm-hmm. you can take I-35 east or I-35 west.
I am literally I-35 west. I'm literally 1 mile off the interstate.
Well, welcome to Chicago, darling.
Oh, thank you. It's cold here.
And you're joined here by your sort of your rodeo husband.
Yes.
Jorge Sanchez.
The dirty
Sanchez.
Oh, is that what that mustache is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was hair.
I did not place it there. That
yeah,
was
yeah,
all
yeah.
Him.
Now, Jorge, you started as a drag king long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And you've been dressing up in men's clothes and lip syncing for at least several decades, right?
Well, probably men's clothes my whole life. But yeah, actually doing drag since I was 23.
What is your gender pronouns that you like for us to refer to you?
You can call me whatever you want.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah.
He, she, they, it.
Yeah, whatever
lover,
you want.
Darling.
Yeah, I got lots of names.
She's giving you that loving look. Say lover.
I'm liking this. Tell me more.
And you are, your title is Mr.
I'm the Mr.
The yeah. Mr. Yep. International Gay Rodeo.
Gay Rodeo,
so
yeah.
For people who are listening to this, and you can also watch this on YouTube, or you guys are so cute wearing your matching cowboy outfits.
No, we're Twinkies.
what is exactly happens at the rodeo pageants where you guys get to become and compete to become royalty?
Oh, dear.
That's a lot.
Me. That's so not nice. Okay, so we don't really call it a pageant. It's more of a competition. Because okay. A pageant kind of, you go, you kind of talk about who you are, and then you look pretty. Our title is a little bit different. We're a working title. So our interviews have just as much about our who we are, but even more than that, we have to know rodeo, like, forwards and backwards. We have to know our history, our rodeo rules, and things like that in case when we're out representing, somebody asks, we know the answers. So for me, there's obviously a Western wear competition. You have to wear formal Western wear. And that's when we get to look pretty, which is my favorite part because I like to look pretty. But after that, there's onstage Q&A. You get a question, you answer it, just pretty much customary in most pageant systems. And then you get a choice between entertainment or horsemanship.
Yeah.
In my case, it's held at Finals Rodeo, World Gate Finals Rodeo every year. I chose to go with horsemanship, not because I don't entertain, but because I competed in 6 events at finals. So
okay.
I did horsemanship, and then we have interview. Interview carries more weight than any of the other categories. So it's usually more than one day of competition. So our first day, we started on Thursday, and that was Western Wear. And all of the candidates, like we have Ms., Mr., Mr., and Miss. So we have 4 different categories that people are competing for the title. And we did Western Wear first, and on stage mm-hmm. presentation, they do that with your Western Wear. The second day, we had horsemanship in the morning, and then for people that didn't do horsemanship, they did entertainment that evening.
Alina, do people who, you know, when we talk about rodeo, the image of a lone cowboy riding a wild horse to see how long they can stay on the horse... They get kicked off, and a rodeo clown comes out to distract the bull or the horse so the cowboy can safely escape.
Yes.
And that, in essence, is what most people think of as a rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
How does the gay rodeo... So the gay rodeo has a lot of more... it does have pageant elements, like the costumes and the interviews and all that stuff.
Yes. We have a blast. And what gives gay rodeo an edge mm-hmm. is we have 3 events in rodeo that are for novices that are special only to gay rodeo. And they're fun. We have wild drag race. When you can put, you know, tidy whities on a goat, you know, with a drag queen anchoring it down, you know that you're in the right place to have fun.
How does that work? So you've got a drag queen has snatched up a goat, and you have to run to the goat and put underwear on it?
Yeah,
pretty much.
She
sits on a center block.
And why tidy whities? Why not like fancy little panties?
Oh, because, you know, goats, they have big butts, and they're kind of long-legged, and it's easier to just put something on because, you know, we are a family show. So you can't put anything too sexy on the go.
And at the end of the day, those whitey tidies look pretty nasty by the second day.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not whitey tidies anymore.
Kind of like my husband's.
Disgusting.
You know, a lot of thing of a queer culture is that sometimes, like, we embrace the things that we parody. We pay homage to it. And so the gay rodeo, in some ways, pays homage to rodeo, but also parodies it, too.
Kind of in a way, but at the same time, it's because our competitors are serious competitors. These aren't people that...
They're not rodeo clowning around.
Right. And it's not like, you know, like preschool or nobody. We are serious. We have people that do this in gay rodeo and on the straight circuits as well. So we're very competitive. It's okay to laugh at yourself. It's okay to have fun. So if you're not super competitive or if you're new, we want to involve anybody that wants to get involved. So we have those 3 events for those that kind of want to do something, but don't necessarily want to spend the money to get a horse and do all that craziness.
You guys had an event here at The Call, which is a gay bar, last night. I imagine there was no cattle there.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
I didn't know we were at a gay bar. You didn't tell me that.
Leave the bull alone. But Illinois Gay Rodeo Association mm-hmm. had a royalty competition. So we have 20 associations
20 now.
Should be at the end of this year. And each association has royalty, and that royalty has to compete at the state level before they can compete for the international level. So the Illinois Gay Rodeo Association had their state level competition last night, and we were there to support them in that.
That's wonderful. Now, Alina, you started out as a young girl with a fascination for horses. You grew up on you're just a little farm girl from Texas.
I'm a little old country bumpkin, see.
And your father was a Presbyterian minister?
No, it was a little worse than that. He was Pentecostal.
Did he do stuff with snakes?
Yeah, everybody. That is the second time I've heard that. I'm like, somebody said, well, oh, they you know, worship snakes. And I was like, no. I even asked a girl I dated. She said, well, my dad said that you guys worship snakes. So when I met her dad, I was like, oh, my goodness, it's Sunday. I need a place to get a snake so I can go to church. And he was like, oh, I knew it. And no, no snakes. Oh. But we did talk in tongues and dance around and have a really good time. It was like a shindig. But
Can you actually do that?
Speak in tongues? The biggest thing I know is Shikamaba, which is what they tell you if they think you the devil has gotten in you, is Shikamaba. But
I don't she tried doing that to me last week. She was like, ugh. I mean, I was like, what the hell?
On my nerves. Shikamaba. And I'm like, so it's become a joke.
I'm healed.
Well, and you strike me as somebody who, when I see an obstacle, you tie it up, hog tie it, and kick it a little.
Well,
just to show him who's boss.
I don't really kick it a little. I kind of kick it a lot. But it's really fun, and they like it when I do it.
But so you started out in a rural community with your dad as a Pentecostal minister. And that's really where you cultivated a love for working with animals.
Yes.
And you own several horses.
I own four. Yeah. And I'm looking for another one because, you know, you can't just stop at one. It's kind of like having one cup of coffee.
You need a herd,
not good
right?
enough. You need a herd. And I have big dreams.
That's how we actually met you. We were sitting at a burger joint, and you came up to us, and you're like, can I pet your dog? And we're like, who are you? Get out of the burger joint and into my life.
Well, because you guys were wearing also matching costumes. Not the matching costumes you're wearing now, because I guess you guys have a whole bunch you were in red last night with your sashes and stuff. And you walked in, and we're just like, oh, my God, who are these two? We've got to meet them. And you guys came over to us, and we're like, it was history.
Well, when there's a big, fluffy dog staring at you, and you're like, I don't want to, if I go up to their dog, somebody's going to think I'm trying to steal a dog. And it happens, because I do dog rescue.
Oh, really?
I rehab aggressive pit bulls, actually. So I kind of, I like a challenge. I like
a good
challenge.
So you're good with Jorge here, right?
She trains me well. I'm a very good train. I'm like,
he's a poodle. Smart, but really docile.
After this, I get a treat, so I'm excited.
Kind of like a bloodhound. Okay. Really cute. You want to touch it, but just really laid back and easygoing.
So for a while, you were in a heterosexual married relationship, and you had two children with your husband.
I tried so hard to be straight for my dad. I mean, we're talking about no tattoos, no makeup, don't cut your hair, no pants, and I mean, the man is ultimate everything. And so when I turned 18, I cut my hair and was desecrating the body of Christ with my first tattoo. And
okay, can you show it?
How many?
Really worth it? Is there one on like that can be easily seen on camera?
Actually,
like on your wrist or something?
I have tattoos everywhere now.
Really?
Oh, wow. My dad asked me.
I heard Dolly Parton has a lot of tattoos.
I don't know.
That's how she always covers up.
She's pretty hot for an older lady, but I
she's
I'm
been
covered.
Hot for a decade. Oh my goodness.
I'm covered. So let's they come that. Up here.
Hold on, show it. Hold it up so I can zoom in on it on the camera.
This is my devoted tattoo because I think you should stay devoted to anything worth doing. So this reminds me that I'm devoted to what I stick with.
The rodeo, the women.
Well, you know, women are
the gender nonconforming cowboys.
Yeah, gender nonconforming cowboys will work. Yeah. Well, we haven't gotten that far yet. Sash husband is about where she stops. But I have tons of tattoos everywhere.
I love it.
So this is my dad. He ended up, we went to Italy together. I took him to Italy with me. And it came a point, you know, telling your dad that you like girls when he's a Pentecostal preacher is kind of really special.
Yeah.
And it took him a good 3 years to kind of get on board. And,
well, he likes girls too, so, right? You know,
well, that's the problem now. Once he accepted it, because he finally just came to me one day and gave me a big hug, and he said, you know what, baby girl, I'd rather a happy child than a dead child. Mm-hmm. And is so embarrassing sometimes. Oh my God. When we were in Rome, we went to the gay bar in Rome. It's a Happy Places or something like that. And he's like, so how do you know which ones are lesbians? And I was like, I don't know, Dad. It's the way they look. I don't know. They look at you. And I like butch women, very masculine butch women. So I'm like, Dad, it's pretty easy.
Jorge's hot.
Jorge's ready.
Jorge's ready for action.
Dear God, help me. This is going to be a long year.
Basically, because you guys just came together.
Yeah.
You guys just got together to do a show last night.
We only met in person.
This is a love affair that's blossoming here.
Oh my goodness. See, this is how this goes. This is going to be an ongoing thing. You guys are going to have updates. All right. Alina and Jorge together, which honestly, even in rodeo, people drive us crazy. Why aren't you two together yet? And I'm like, because I'm scared of relationships right now. So,
well, you know, all this relationship, you work with animals, you know, it's just think of it as a new hobby, new species.
Letting him think that he's an animal, and he's going to be like, but I'm an animal.
As long as she's good at roping, so I'm okay.
Because you actually, you told me last night, I'll let me quote Garth Brooks here, it's the ropes and the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing rodeo.
Yes.
But you used to call it kink.
Yes! So,
so before you loved the animals.
I liked the leather. But I still love the leather. And I still love the rodeo. And actually, okay, there are a lot of people in rodeo that do several other organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, my drag mother, Selena, mm-hmm, is a court queen. But she also was Ms. TGRA and did compete for IGRA.
So, Selena Horrors?
Selena Horrors.
And that's why you have Horrors. Horrors.
Yes.
And
what's the court's name? The Imperial Court. Is that what it's called? The Imperial Court. Yeah. Some people, they don't know. In Chicago, they used to call it the Barony, but now I don't think they call it the Barony anymore. It's something else. I don't know.
Who knows?
Or maybe it's the Barony of the Andy Windy City Empire.
So, for people who are not familiar, in every town across the United States mostly, there is a circle of LGBT people that get together to raise money for charity. And they are legion, for they are many.
Yes.
And it's not drag, not quite drag, not quite rodeo, not quite leather. They usually go by the names of the Barony or the Imperial Court. Mm-hmm. And they take it very seriously.
Very seriously.
And the hilarious aspect of it is that it's usually somebody who's like dressing up like the Queen of England or the King of England, or more like the Burger King.
Well, yeah, I've seen that too.
Hanging out at your local watering hole and be like, you bow before the Duke, you know, Earl, Third Court of the High Empire, of the Fourth Estate of the Third Generation.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I was the prince for Minnesota Imperial Court, so I was like, and they start bowing to me, and I was like, this is weird.
And you got a little sad. The medallion.
Yeah, the big huge medallion with a crown on it. And I was like, okay.
They do amazing work.
I love it.
What is the crossover between the court system and the rodeo system? It seems like there is one because you guys have brought it up a couple of times.
Honestly, everybody works together. We've learned that each organization, if you help each other out, you can make bigger things happen. Sure. So we're all stronger together. Mm-hmm. We're all stronger when we work together, right? So we have the court, which... Mm-hmm. Some people like the protocol and the pomp and circumstance of the court, and some people are like me, and we're like, let's just raise some freaking money. Right. So, you know, I don't want to do anything special other than raise money and rodeo and talk about this organization that I love. Okay. Mm. Whereas, so if we get with the court, we can make bigger things happen, makes things easier. And the court will get with us, the leather community gets with us, the bears get with us, and we get with them, and it's everybody working
together.
We
all work together. Everything.
For the greater good of the community.
So back to the kink, though. Did you, who yes, did you back rope, to this. Rope first? A calf or a human being?
Well, obviously,
who did
animals.
I rope first? It was definitely a calf.
Okay.
Who got roped first was probably me. Yes, I have a really good. We call this person my priest confessor.
Okay,
and that was my play partner, and yeah, that's about the only person I sub for.
Okay,
because it takes a massive amount of trust to allow somebody to have power, and especially me. I'm a powerful hooker, and I don't like to give up my power.
Sure.
So. There's one person that I'll sub for. Other than that, I'm a dominating person. So
you're usually tying up other people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now,
Jorge, let me get a towel for you, Jorge.
Suddenly the coffee is too warm.
Yeah, baby. This is not, we're like out here on your first date.
Does the rodeo intersect with the kink?
You guys just met last night.
No, October.
But this is like you haven't seen each other for years, and you guys, instead of like spending, you know, your time naked in a hotel room together, you're here taping the podcast.
Oh,
because I keep saying no. He has tried. Oh. But I'm a no.
No.
You want to
keep it professional, right?
Romance the stone. Well, you gotta cultivate.
We
that
have a year to work together, yeah. And the way I look at it is okay. I don't know if you guys know much about lesbians, but sometimes we break up and it's just not good.
It's not going to be.
It's
pretty.
Just not good. Yeah. So to make sure that our organization, because to me, my entire life, anybody with me here will tell you, my entire life is literally rodeo. Mm-hmm. It's every part of who I am.
Well, let me ask you this. Why a gay rodeo? Because aren't like all rodeos kind of gay? I mean, we saw Brokeback Mountain. We got cross-dressing cows. Yes. You put goats in underwear. I mean,
honestly, I like gay rodeo because everybody's welcome. Mm-hmm. We have straight competitors. We have gay competitors, bi, transsexual. We don't care. You're just there. Everybody there is free to be who they are. And when you live in Texas and you go to straight rodeos, there's one on the news just the other day. They won't let this girl barrel race because barrel racing is historically a female event. And she was assigned male at birth. And as a female, and they won't let her barrel race. Mm-hmm. So you've got somebody that wants to do something, and it's
what
something
is a
that
barrel
they
race.
Oh my goodness! It's
jumping over barrels.
It is life. No.
Oh my
this
goodness!
Ooh, she's like, now you've turned on a light because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I love this barrel race. This is her passion.
Okay. That's why.
This is a women's sport traditionally.
Traditionally, it's a women's sport.
And the gay rodeo, do men do it too?
Yes, okay. Men and women. Okay. All of our events are open to men or women.
Oh wow.
There's nothing that's, you know,
segregated by gender.
Okay. We have female bull riders. I mean, it's, I love it. You can do
you have a female category, though, for female identifying people? Though.
Right.
Okay.
And it's females. And if you identify as a female, if you're a male or even if you're a trans male, you compete with the guys because let's face it, you're a dude. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, oh, well, we're worried about what's in your pants. It's nobody's business what's in your pants. Mm-hmm. If you're a man, you're a man. We don't care about where you're at in your transition.
Sure.
Well, with the Olympics, you have to be on hormone replacement therapy for 3 years before you can compete in the gender category of your choosing. Mm-hmm. Is that the same for, like, are there any kind of restrictions on?
Nope.
You could just today. Is it a harder category? Because somebody might complain is like, well, you just, you know, identifying as female because it's easier to do the females.
I can tell you this.
Yeah.
I compete with the females and I watch the men compete. I can't compete with them because, you know, I don't have the right parts. But the females are horribly competitive.
Mm-hmm. And ruthless.
It's hard. They're supportive as people, but when they compete, those girls are serious, man. This is my first year doing barrel racing. Those girls are serious. And
what
I get
is
it.
A barrel race?
Okay, so you have three barrels in a clover leaf pattern, and you come up the alley, and your horse is running as fast as they can, balls to the walls, to the first barrel, and you can go right or left, and then they turn the barrel and like slingshot to the second barrel, and then in the top, it's kind of, the barrels are placed in a triangle, and then the top is your last barrel, you turn around and haul ass back in.
Without knocking it over, though.
You can't knock them over, it's a 5-second penalty, and the fastest time wins. So you're talking about people on a 1,000-pound animal running pretty freaking quick and then turning on a dime and then running all the way back.
That's hard for the horse to do, to maneuver like that, right?
They have to be trained and it's once they figure it out, most of the time they do fairly well. Mm. I have a new one that's special and she has a habit when she gets to barrel one, she likes to buck all the way to barrel two. But it, I mean, we're not talking about something that's completely without risk. Mm. I mean, we've seen horses fall and they have a mind of their own.
What's the riskiest thing in the rodeo?
Oh, to me, there's two of them. Our two most dangerous events are wild drag and rough stuff.
Is it because the wild drag, because the drag queens make it rough or what?
The drag queens actually are usually fairly well. It's the stock because, I mean, you've got a steer tied by the horns and you're trying to get him to go and he doesn't want to be held by a rope. He doesn't know how to lead. So he's just, no, you're not getting me to do anything. So it's like three people trying to come together to calm this sucker down. And then you put a drag queen on top of it, which hair, dresses, it's crazy. It flies everywhere. And then you get them back over, but it's more dangerous because you're on the ground with them.
Sure.
And they have horns. So you're chasing around and grabbing them.
I've seen Song of
the
South. I know what can happen.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's one of my favorite events, but I'm completely crazy.
Alina, what do people who don't participate, who don't have an experience to rodeo culture or even working with animals, what misunderstandings do they have about rodeo? Because there's a lot of people who are like thinking that it may be exploiting animals. And to me, I'm like, you know, it would be as a, you know, it's kind of like Westminster Abbey, but with horses to some degree, right?
Very much so. A lot of people think that the animals do it because, you know, you hurt them on the way out, especially for bulls. That's really bad. A lot of people have this misunderstanding that these animals were hurting them or doing something dangerous to them, and that's what makes them buck. These animals are athletes just like the people are. So these animals are bred for this, and we, IGRA has probably the strictest policy on animal safety and welfare of any rodeo circuit in the United States or internationally, because, you know, we do Canada also. We do not allow hot shots, and that's what everybody's worried about. Oh, you shocked them. We do not allow that.
So these animals that are bucking, they're trained to buck?
It's usually natural ability, and they love to do it. And most of them, they'll buck, and then when they get done, they're like, ha, got you off. And then they go right back in, and they're calm. They're athletes. It's kind of like anybody. If you go out for a morning run, you run, and then you're done. They look at it the same way. It's business.
Okay. Well, and they switch them out a lot, too. So it's not like they're using the same thing over and over again.
Oh, okay.
Our animals, we make sure they're fed and watered. A lot of other circuits don't really care about the animal, but we have an entire committee dedicated to the safety and welfare of the animals in the rodeo. They're not abused. They're not hurt. It's a 1,200-pound animal.
The biggest danger is hearts getting broken.
Yes. They're going to just do it on minimal.
I like it. That would be great when he says it.
So you,
we'll keep you posted.
Alina, so when your son came out as gay to you at the age of 15.
He did.
And for you at the time, you weren't out.
Oh, God, no.
But he knew something, right?
He knew something was up. I mean, mom has a best friend for a little bit, and then the best friend disappears, and he's not stupid. And he was like, Mom, do you like girls?
So he was asking you.
Well, it wasn't until after he came out, and then I felt really guilty that maybe I had taught my son to be ashamed of who he was, and that's why he was in. Because when he was 12, I saw a text message in his phone that was questionable. Mm. And
what
I asked him about it. It said, hey, I'm bi. And I was like, okay, son, we need to talk about this. And he was like, oh, no, I was just starting a rumor to see if I could trust the person that I told. And I was like, yeah.
I like that one.
Okay. So, you know, eventually it came out, and I was like, man, I've just failed as a mother, you know. And I didn't take it super, super hard. It was just like okay, how am I going to teach my kid to be proud of who he is if I'm not proud of who I am?
Was it hard to tell your story to your family or to your friends and community?
Well, my coming out story was kind of an accident. I had this nice, good plan. He knew my son was okay with it, but I had this really good plan to sit my family down and have the talk. But that's not what happened. I have a little niece that I'm very close to, and I tell her everything. She calls me Auntie Mom. And we were playing this game called Evil Minds. It's kind of like the game Ellen plays where you put the phone on your head and you guess the word. But it's an adult version. And we were playing this with my family. And the word was strap-on on the phone. And she's trying to tell me, describe what this word is. And she's like, you and your girlfriend use one all the time. And I was like, strap on in my family.
Get the fuck
out. Wait a minute. It was the most embarrassing thing. It happened at her graduation party. And I was like, oh shit, this will be fun. So then, you know, of course, most everybody just, okay, we're going to go to bed now. Good, because I've got a bottle of Fireball, and I'm going to just hit the Fireball.
You have a cocktail that you make with a cayenne, what is it, cayenne-flavored booze.
Fireball.
What is your cocktail that?
It's Fireball. But
you just drink it.
I don't drink it the way most people do. Most people put it in a freezer, and they're like, okay.
They want it chilled.
You shake that crap over ice until it's cloudy, and it is just as smooth as a baby's bottom when it hits. And oh, my gosh. And then you get the tingles, and you're like, But it's not, it doesn't burn, and it doesn't hurt. It's just perfect. So then you want more, and then you want more. and then you want more, and then one fireball, two fireballs.
I was waiting for a comment. He's going to say something.
And that's when Jorge holds the wig, because I wear wigs.
Wait, oh, you do that, but you're not. This is your own hair, right?
This
now.
Is yeah. my hair.
They're all your hair, but
they're all my hair. Some of it, it's just easier to remove it. But
this is not removable.
No. This stays. It'll plaster down more, and it'll pop up some.
You know, I would say like you're a combination of like Polly Holiday from Kiss My Grits and Alice Walker. You know, from the TV show Alice.
I may be guilty. But that's the fun part. I don't want to be innocent all the time.
Well, I just love your sassy energy and your no-nonsense approach to life and the way that you sort of see an obstacle and you just hogtie it and kick it.
Well, you know, everybody's going to have obstacles. If you don't learn to just overcome it, no matter what comes at you, how far are you going to get?
Mm.
So I believe that if I show people that no matter what knocks me down, no matter what tries to tear me apart, that I can stand back up and rise again, which is a Viking thing, apparently.
Oh, because you, like Mark, you're Norwegian.
Very Norwegian.
Oh.
Very
all
Norwegian.
All for Narga casting.
Well, you know, see, that he was telling me about that.
They're casting
really
season
10.
Like, they're interviewing the people like this week or something.
I'm going to send this tape to them.
So maybe next
honestly.
Year.
That'd be fun.
I'll send you the link.
It'd be fun. Yeah, this year I'm a little whooped with what we're doing in rodeo, but next year I'm going to take some time off. So I just, it's a 3-year commitment to get to this level, because in Texas we're candidates first and then we have to be reigning and then we can compete for the international. So it's a 3-year commitment.
So do you have like meet and greets with like the drag race girls have after the show?
We haven't. Honestly, we just kind of go where we're asked. We don't, she and I, or he and I, or it and I, or that and I, whatever you want. We don't keep a dime that we're tipped when we do this.
So you're doing this out of you're funding your own way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you guys are obviously like all sort of independently wealthy millionaires or...
No, all of us have associations that support us really well. And like I said, our IGRA is a huge family.
Yeah.
We take care of each other to help kind of counteract the costs. So if I do a lot of shows in Las Vegas. So if I go to Las Vegas, I have people there that'll, you know, take me into their homes and whatnot. All I have to do is bring outfits and makeup and then I'm fairly well taken care of.
So Vegas is a big hotspot for the gay rodeo scene.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Actually, gay rodeo started in Reno, Nevada.
Mm.
So Nevada has I say Nevada, but they say Nevada. So Nevada actually has a rich history of gay rodeo. And it was all started by Phil Ragsdale.
Mm-hmm. Where are some of the other big places where rodeo is king or queen?
Obviously, Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas had the biggest rodeo last year with the most competitors, which was 100. We were 102, 103 competitors.
Oh, wow.
Santa Fe and Arizona are really, really good.
Colorado.
Colorado's good.
It's huge.
I got my first buckle in Colorado. And then, which was in goat dressing,
okay.
Barrel racing, trained for barrel
She's
racing.
She's good at putting underwear on a goat.
Yeah, I can put I'm better at putting underwear on, apparently, than taking it off.
So you get a just like in wrestling, you get a buckle you wear.
Yeah, if you win your event, it's kind of like an average. So if you go to a barrel race, for instance, in Texas last year, I won first place in poles one day, and I was kind of sixth the other day. So I didn't get the buckle, but it's the best average barrel racer gets the buckle, or if you stay on the longest for both days, because 2 days of competition, you want the best person, most consistent winner.
Sure.
And they get a buckle.
Okay, so it's not just the one-time event, they average everything together.
Right, it's 2 days. So you day one, the first go is what we call it. You have all your events. And then we usually have a show to raise funds for the association that's holding the rodeo and kind of help them out. And then the second day you do it all over again. And then you have an award ceremony afterwards.
Now, one lovely chaparrito that has been not getting a lot of attention on the show here is Jorge Sanchez.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the dog. I was like, okay.
We were talking about our girl.
Jorge, so because I really want to touch on your drag king experience here.
Okay.
You've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's a 10-year anniversary of Drag Race.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of emphasis on, you know, drag performers who are presenting as female.
Yeah.
For you, a lot of people might not realize that in Chicago and in the Midwest, there was a huge drag king scene Almost a decade before Drag Race came on
TV. Before Drag Race,
And you remember the Chicago Kings and all that stuff happening. Yeah. So what's, in your mind, what are you seeing kind of the evolution of gender-bending performance happening in the last 20 years for you?
Well, I think being, like, one of the first ones, it's very interesting to see how, like, from binding to, like, doing your face. Now you'll see people put glitter on their face. They're really now doing a lot of makeup, more like a drag queen. More than anything. And then the costumes are not, are really huge, like a drag queen now. Where back in the day, you had costumes, but they weren't as big. I think Drag Race really brought out, you had to step up your game as a king now. And before, we would, like, shadow the queens, kind of. Now the kings are like, wait, we can be in the spotlight with them.
Yeah.
So it's huge now.
And so, like, for you as an artist, how's that changed your work at all? Or
it's different for me because, like, sure. I said, I'm still old school. I like being old school drag king.
Which means what exactly?
I like, you know, just your more simple, but I more do comedy more than anything. A lot of people don't do that comedy. They still want to do that sexiness. I want to be a man type thing. And I'm like, I want you to kind of guess what I am. You know, I'll be the flamboyant guy instead, and where everyone wants to be the tough guy. And I'm like, why do you have to be tough? You can still be a man and be more flamboyant. And so I'll do boas and stuff like that. She had me do the labyrinth, David Bowie, a couple months ago. Like, I did magic dance for her, and I was like, why am I? Like, I had sparkle pants on, but a lot of drag kings won't do that. And I was like, let's have fun.
And so for you, it's like, you probably get a lot more attention because when you make people laugh, it's a form of pleasure. And that's why, like, comedians get more action than, say, you know, somebody who's not. I would say, like, comedians are the sexiest because laughter is
kind of... Yeah, you remember that.
A comedian.
You remember that. Oh, everyone likes the laughter.
Comedy's harder, I think, than drama, yeah.
But that's the stuff I love. I love doing... I do the song, I'm the Only Gay Eskimo, and I come out with a big fur coat, and then underneath I have, like, you know, sparkly pants and stuff like that, but they're like, why... You know, everyone wants to be sexy, and I'm like, you don't have to be sexy. I think being funny can be sexy. And so I kind of went that route. And now I'm a cowboy, which is a completely different than what I've ever done. Because I usually didn't do country numbers. I was more comedy. And then when I started doing rodeo 3 years ago.
And you're based out of what city? Or?
I live right about 5 blocks away from Wisconsin. So I'm literally right on the border of Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Oh, so you are also kind of a rural art LGBT person.
Yeah. So.
And for a lot of people might not remember or be aware of, but like 20 years ago, you know, especially in Texas and rural communities, when you have a gay bar, everybody's there.
Yeah.
It's not like you have the bar that does drag, the lesbian bar, the rodeo bar, the leather bar. It's all in one place.
Yeah. I've done a lot of like really small town bars, you know, where you're like, how did we get all these people in here? And there's like not even a dressing room because they've never had drag before. Mm-hmm. So we're in a bathroom all together trying to hurry up. And, you know, I've done my face in a bowling alley before.
I didn't even know gay bars existed until about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there are no gay people. When I grew up, my dad... He knows my dad. Dad is, he's really good and supportive now, but...
So your dad's still alive?
Yeah.
Okay, because that tattoo made it look like he was...
No, he's just my anchor. He's everything to me. But he's very supportive. He won't tip me because I'm a seductive entertainer, so I wear like... less than this when I entertain, and I just kind of want to look at you, give you dirty eyes, and... thank you when I take your dollar and walk away.
So he's seen you perform.
He has. He won't tip me. He drops it on the ground because he says he feels like he's tipping a stripper.
He's like, pick it up.
I told him I would pick it. I said, I'll take the dollar and tip her if you want me to. I will.
But when I was growing up, and he still to this day calls me the son he never had or my favorite son because I was raised to look like a lady and work like a man. He just didn't think that I would look like a lady and...
fuck like a man.
You said it, but yes. So
some men, I should say.
Right, like, yes. But, so, you know, my sisters would say, ooh, you're dirty, because I would be I want to dress up and wear dresses and things, yeah. but they wanted to go play Barbies and go get their nails done. And I'm like, Dad, let's go fishing, or let's go enter an archery tournament, or let's go hunting. I mean, so I was the weird one. We didn't know what was wrong. My older sister started calling me a dirty lesbian. And I'm like, I'm not a dirty lesbian. Because I didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah, like the words didn't resonate with
me. Right, because with the religion aspect in the house, that was just not something that... I didn't know anybody that did that. First crush on a girl, I was like, oh, well, I just really like her to be my friend. But it didn't, so I didn't know what to do with it.
Well, it's interesting, like a lot of LGBT people were sort of like a gift on Earth to allow humanity to escape that dogmatic faith that seems to have such a grip on some communities.
I think that people like that, I think gay people, one thing that at least my family has learned is they've learned that we are really good at teaching people how to love and accept people. Okay, so I might not agree with you. Sure. I might not want to do what you do, but I can love you no matter what. And that's really a good aspect about our community for the most part. I mean, we all have things to work on, right? So what I love is that I can go be myself with my family, even though some of them completely don't agree with my lifestyle or who I am, but they love me anyway. And that's something that they had to learn. It's not something that comes natural to everybody. So I think if we give a lot of people want us to immediately accept this is my life and you have to love me and accept me. Well, that's hard, right? So my son, when he was born, I had this, oh, he's going to find the right girl and he's going to have babies and it's going to be wonderful. And I cannot wait to meet his wife. And one thing that kind of made me understand things a little bit better was when my son came out, it was like, oh my God, the dream that I had for my child is not my dream. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to accept that at first. And it's hard to say, okay, so now the wife is a husband. And it's going to be harder for him to have kids. And there was, even though I am who I am, it was hard to think about the change. Everything that you thought you know isn't right. It just doesn't add up. So you kind of have to deal with that. And it was a change on both parts, which made it easier for me when I came out. It made me a little bit more patient with my family, who was just like, uh-uh, we can't have this. So I think if everybody understands that, when you come out, if you feel like you're not accepted, just remember to be a little patient because change is hard for everybody. So it's hard for me to come out and say, hey, I'm a lesbian. Yeah, that straight thing. That was a phase. It wasn't a lesbian phase. It was a straight phase. Whereas everybody in my family thought that me flirting with girls was a college phase.
Cute.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. She'll get over that.
I don't know, Alina. I think you're an anonymous phase. Anonymous is a phase because you're a star, honey. And people are like, I know that, you know, Jorge's like ready to become president of your fan club.
He already is. But that's okay. I'm president of his.
Are you regularly like posting stuff on social media, on Instagram and stuff?
You know, I don't. I'm so busy. It's all on Facebook.
You got to get your son to do it for you.
Are you kidding? That kid's too busy doing his Instagram. He's like a superstar.
Put those kids to work, goddammit.
When he started drag, he was like, this is me. And he has a lot of gender bending pictures on his Instagram.
So he's pretty like non-binary himself.
He very much so identifies as a guy, but when he came out, and even all through life, I just want him happy. I don't care what he wears or how he expresses himself. As long as he's safe, smart, and happy, I'm okay. So he's got somewhere. He's got his eyes done. His first time in drag was really cute. And it's
but your makeup is flawless.
Thank you.
I did it. Thank you.
You're the one who did it.
I was like,
did she really?
No.
I always tell people, they're like, how do you do your makeup? And I'm like, it's really awesome. Okay, it's super easy. Get a cookie sheet. Get you a big box of Crayolas. Cut off the paper. Put them on the cookie sheet. Stick them in the oven and... oh, my face is done. And they're like,
melted on.
I'm like, yeah, you just put that crap on and then you don't have to worry about it. It doesn't move. It's great. I woke up like this. This is how I look every morning because I'm fabulous.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, see? He's right.
You are. Yes, you are. Folks, if you want to learn more about the International Gay Rodeo Association and their royalty, Jorge Sanchez and Alina Juarez Cole, you can visit...
You should know this, too. www.igra.com.
Fantastic.
I thought we were going to do it together.
Do it again.
Count it off, honey.
Oh, no, you count.
Oh, my God. She's in charge.
I know this. I just let her do whatever you need.
So now we know who the sub is. I just wanted to make that clear.
That was very clear.
Everyone knew that. I think walking in. Yeah.
So, one, two, three.
www.igra.com.
And remember, folks, we rely on the Feast of Fun family to do this show. Right now, amazingly, you guys have really stepped up and helped us replace our broken computer.
We're
almost there.
Right at the time of this recording, we're at $2,290 out of our $3,500 goal.
That's awesome.
Now, out of the thousands of people that listen to the show, we've gotten to this goal by just 20 people. Just 20 people have come forward and said, I believe in Feast of Fun and I want to give some money. So I'm going to do a shout out to these guys, to Ivan, Tom, Dylan, Damon, Lawrence, Cody, Jonathan, Rochelle, Tom, Mike, Curtis, Anonymous, Christopher,
that's
Matthew,
Alex,
Pete, Anonymous, Thomas, Mark, Lucas, Jake, and Reed. Those 20 people have made a big difference. Now, if we can just get, 20 more people.
20!
How about this? What? How about Jorge and I will donate $200 to you guys today?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely.
We help people, and that's what we do. That's what we do all this for. So...
You can tie me up anytime.
me first. Come on now.
But I don't work with them.
Can I take my title off?
No.
Still good.
And so the URL for that, too, so you guys can do it, it's gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer.
Awesome.
And this is why we do the show, because of folks like Alina and Jorge. You guys, I don't believe in serendipity. I believe in somehow that you get what you put out into the world.
Absolutely.
And we were sitting at this burger joint, sitting there having some fries, and you guys walked in there, and Ryan was just like, these two individuals are extraordinary.
We so interrupted your ice cream cone.
No, I wanted you to.
I know, I felt weird, like, hi, can I come pet your dog?
But you guys, and I have to say, like, Alina, I've met a lot of people doing this show, and I have to say, like, I know a star when I see one.
Oh, thank you.
And, Jorge, both of you guys, but, like, Alina, you have something in you that the world needs to experience and see. And I'm just very grateful for you to take time out of your rodeo schedule to talk to us and to our audience. But I really want to encourage you to really, like, not just see the rodeo audience but the world as your audience, because you really are an extraordinary woman. And
Thank
it's
you.
Really great to meet you.
Thank you. It was so good to meet you. I mean, how do you meet somebody in a burger joint and, I want to stalk your dog?
Well, Jesse is a famous dog. He has his own Instagram and Facebook page.
Well, he's definitely famous.
Jesse
in my
Pinkman,
heart now.
The dog, or Jesse Pinkman dog, or just Jesse Pinkman on Facebook, and you can.
That was actually one of the conditions to come on here. Does that mean we get to see Jesse again?
Yeah,
Jesse.
Anytime.
He's my
take him for a walk.
Yeah,
believe me. If I take him for a walk, I'm taking him to Texas. I'm going to just tell you right now.
How many acres do you have? You might like that better.
I actually just signed a contract on 10 acres, and he can play. I have three pit bulls. One of them was my first pit bull that I ever rehabbed. Was really aggressive. Tried to eat me for 6 months before he decided to trust me again. A lot of people say pit bulls, it's how they're raised. No, it's how pit bulls and people are similar, in that something bad happens to a person and they get PTSD. Pit bulls are the same way. If you give time and help them work out their issues and just teach them, okay, you're safe with me, then you have a safe dog. That pit bull that tried to eat me and bite me for 6 months is now great with kids and Everybody.
What was the change? How do you make that change? What do you do?
Patience.
Treats?
Not so much treats, because when I'd give him treats, he'd snap. But I would sleep next to the crate for a long time. I had never worked with a pit bull before Casper. I'd sleep next to the crate, and just when he'd be angry, I'd put a little pressure on and then pull back. It was instinctual, really. If he wasn't comfortable, if it was too much, I'd just back off, but I wouldn't go away. So he learned that, number one, I'm not going to push him past his limit. Number two, I'm going to be patient with him. And number three, above all, I'm going to love him. And now he's 9 years old, and he's still grumpy, but I allow him to, everybody has to express their frustrations. He's a talkative one. So if he doesn't like what you're doing, he'll growl, but he won't bite or snap.
Yeah. And it's important that, like, the growl is the good part.
The warning.
So it's because, you know, you want a dog that will growl, because otherwise the dog will just bite.
Right. He will never be able to go into another house, because I just don't trust anybody to be as patient with him as what he needs. But he gets along with, I've got two other pit bulls, and actually I have a little midget Frenchie that he's learning.
It's a zoo at your house.
It is. Four horses.
Four dogs.
Three pit bulls and a Frenchie, an 18-year-old.
And a pig.
And you know, I should get a pig.
A potbelly pig.
But I'm about to get goats. I need goats. And with the acreage, I have to practice calf roping, so then I need baby calves.
Oh my God.
And if you're going to have that, you might as well have the stinking chickens.
Jorge's like, you breakfast on me.
You know, chickens like eggs.
One dog.
Exactly. I need breakfast. And then if I get a pig, bacon. Who doesn't like bacon?
But then I can buy farm animals and keep them with her. That's my thing.
I see how this is going to work.
I say, I want a baby goat.
Did y'all hear that on your show? I just became a sugar mama to take care of everybody's animals.
Hey, I said I would buy it. I would just leave it.
Yeah, but I'd have to feed it. But the purchase of an animal is the cheapest.
I'll behave. I was going to say that. I know better to behave. I'm zipping it.
Well, I can obviously see whoever chose or, you know, bestowed upon you your titles, they did an extremely good job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us. People can follow you on Facebook.
Yeah,
Alina Cole.
They made me take Horace off because they said
they don't want a horror on Facebook.
They don't want Horace on Facebook.
So they knew it was a fake name?
Well, they made me prove everything
they
says
an
Alina
ID.
Cole.
But they kept the Dirty Sanchez.
Because there's a big thing with Facebook and the drag community. So, yeah, I had to prove it and that it was Alina Cole. So they took Horace out, but I am totally Ahores, and my Cole mother she's a hot mess. She says she's a good Christian woman, but that's bullshit.
Well, you guys are fabulous. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us. This has been really fun. We've enjoyed it, and we love meeting you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.